Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our study of the book of Divrei Hayomim Aleph. In today's show, we study Perek Yud Chet, Chapter 18, our series is sponsored with the help of the Sefetz Foundation in conjunction with the Tanakh Study Center, Tanakh.org. Pasuk Aleph. Vayachrechen. After the events of Chapter 16 and 17, when David successfully brings the Aron to Yerushalayim and then asks God if he can build a Beit HaMikdash, if he can build a house for God in Yerushalayim, and God tells him, not you, but your son. In the previous chapter, we saw that God's primary answer to David for why it's not time yet to build a house for God, because we had not reached the level of menucha v'nachala. We had not reached the level of national stability that was necessary for the construction of a house for God. We had to wait for a stable transition of power from David to his son, which later will be Shlomo. But also, David has not truly finished the conquest of the land. In chapter 18, we're going to hear about more battles that David continues to fight, which only proves that he had not reached the level of menucha v'nachala that was necessary for building a temple. But on the other hand, it's these battles that enable Shlomo to reach that level of conquest, which will enable him, David's son, to build that house for God. So let's begin again. Vayachrechen, vayach David et plishtim, vayachneim. David defeated the plishtim, and he subdued them. The word kenya in Hebrew means to surrender. Therefore, the word vayachneim means that they surrendered to him. And now the menace of the plishtim, who have been the arch enemies of Israel since the middle of Sefer Shoftim, from this time on, the tide has turned. And little by little, the Plishtim are going to be out of the picture, and Israel is going to take over the whole coastal plain. Vayikachet Gat uvnoteha. David was able to capture Gat, which was the major city of the Plishtim, and its surrounding cities, Miat Plishtim, from the Plishtim. The conquest of Gat was not just another city, but rather the center of their empire. That was the major city that was the link between the coastal plain cities of Ashdod and Ashkelon and Azah, and the mountain range, the area of Beit Lechem, and the area of Hebron. David had already succeeded in defeating the Plishtim, who had encroached on the areas of Beit Lechem and Har Chevron. Now he pushed them down to the Shvelah, past Emek Elah and the area of Beit Shemesh. Now he's pushed them even farther away and has taken over the area of Gat. The area of Gat is identified today as Tel Tzafit, which is an archaeological site about 10 kilometers north of Kiryat Gat of today and about 10 kilometers east of the coastal cities of Ashkelon and Ashdod. Pasuk Bet, Vayachet Moav. In addition to his military conquest to the west and the coastal plain, David extends his military conquest also to the east. He's able to defeat Moab, that was Israel's enemy, on the other side of the Jordan River Valley, the area of Jordan today. Vayu Moab avadim leDavid. From that time on, the people in Moab were in service of David. In other words, they paid taxes to him. Nosei mincha, they carried a gift or a tribute every year. And in order to remain under the control of David and not have to go to war anymore, the people in Moab paid tribute and taxes to David's kingdom. Now that we talked about David's expansion to the west and to the east, now we talk about David's expansion to the north. Vayach David et Hadad Ezer, Melech Tzova Hamata. Hadad Ezer, the king of Tzova, which is the area of Syria today, by the area of the city Hamat, that city is still there today, a little north of Damascus, north of Damascus. Belechto Latziv Yado Benahar Prat. When the Syrian king named Hadad Ezer was on his way to establish a monument or to extend his control all the way to the Euphrates River, that's when David attacked Hadad-Ezer at a time when he was relatively weak because his army had extended all the way up north, and he's able to defeat one of Israel's enemies and takes over the area of Syria today. In that battle, we're told, by called David Mimeno Elef Rechev, David was able to capture in that battle 1,000 chariots, v'shivat alafim parashim, 7,000 horses, v'esrim elef ishragli, and 20,000 infantrymen, v'aker David et kol ha-rechev. David pulled the hamstrings of all the horses. In other words, he took those horses that pulled the chariots and did something to them so they were no longer able to pull the chariots. V'yoter mimeno me'arechev. But he left enough horses in order to take care of about 100 chariots. What David is doing here is quite simple to understand. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. There's a commandment for the king, lo yabel asusim, which means he can't overdo the amount of horses in his army, because in ancient times, horses was the measure of strength of an army. You needed them for your chariots and for your, and possibly also for your cavalry. David doesn't get rid of all the horses, but he does something to them so his army won't be too big. Because if your army is too big, you put too much trust in your army and not enough trust in God. If you don't have any army at all, no horses, then you're putting too much trust in God and not enough what's called hishtadlut to do things on your own. You need to do something where you protect yourself at a level that's necessary, but not to overdo it so you don't put too much trust in your own might. David beautifully finds the right balance. And again, that's one of the reasons why he's chosen to become the founder of the dynasty, which will be the kingdom of Israel. Pasuk Hey. V'yavo Aram Damesek, lazor la Hadad Ezer melech Tzova. When David was fighting Hadad Ezer, in the area of Aram Tzova, which is a little more to the north of Syria today. Another ally of Hadadezer, the king of Damascus, was called here Aram Damascus, came to help Hadadezer. Ve'ech David ba'Aram, David was successful in battle against Aram as well, at Srimushnaim Elafish. He inflicted upon them 22,000 casualties in the army of Aram. So in addition to his military defeat of Hadadezer, he'd also defeated Aram Damascus. Ve'esem David ba'Aram Damascus, David put in Aram Damascus, the word Nitzavim is missing here, David put military outposts in Damascus, and hence extended his military control to the area of Syria today. Vayi Aram the David, and from that time on, Aram was for David, Avadim Nosei Mincha, just like the people of Moab. Now, their vassal kingdom under David, paying tribute every year, and now we have a summary of all these events. Vayosh Adonai leDavid b'chol asher halach. God gave help to David, and his salvation came with the help of God and anywhere he went. What Divrei Hayamim is telling us, that David's military successes were not just because David's army was so great, but it's because God came to help him. That concept David expresses over and over again in the book of Tehillim, where he attributes all of his military successes to the help of God. But again, why are these stories in the book of Divrei Hayamim? If our claim is the purpose of this book is to inspire the people of the Second Temple period to learn from all the initiatives taken by David to build the Beit HaMikdash in the First Temple period, what do we gain by recording these stories in this book? The answer will be in the next two psukim. Pasuk Zayin, Vaykach David et shlitei hazaav asher hayu aavdei Hadadezer vayvehem Yerushalayim. David took the golden shields that the servants of Hadadezer had, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. What are these golden shields? Usually in the army, shields protect the soldiers in battle. But the king's guard, which was of royal nature, also had special shields made out of gold, which glorified the king. Those were not for military use, but rather those were an important symbol for the king. When David captured Hadadezer, he took those golden shields and brought them to Yerushalayim. Why he did that, we'll see very soon. Umitivchat umikun arei Hadadezer, from the two cities of Hadadezer in the Bekaa Valley, the cities of Tivchat and Kun, lachach David nechoshet rabam od. David took from there a vast amount of copper. Ba asah Shlomo, with that copper, Shlomo built et yam hanechoshet bet hamudim. He built what's called the Yam Shel Shlomo, the big reservoir or source of water that supplied water for the Kohanim to wash their hands in the Beit HaMikdash. That was made out of the Nechoshet, just like the Kior was made out of the Nechoshet. Shlomo made a giant Kior from this copper. Bet Hamudim, the two pillars called Yachin and Boaz, which we're going to hear about in Divrei Hayamim Bet, and we heard back in Sefer Melachim, those two pillars which stood at the entrance to the Beit HaMikdash were also made out of the Nechoshet. So the copper that David took in his battles against Hadadezer were donated and used to build the Beit HaMikdash. What we're going to see here is we record not only the battles that David fought, but how David donated all the gold and the silver and the copper from his conquest and used that to build the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Tet. Vayishma to'u melech Hamat, ki ikat David et kol chel Hadadezer melech Tzova. Now we're going to hear about a third king. We heard about Hadadezer melech Tzova. We heard about Aram Damascus. Now we're going to hear about To'u, the king of Hamat. Hamat is another city in Syria who is the enemy of Hadadezer. And because David defeated Hadadezer, the enemy of Hadadezer now became the friend of David. So Tou, the king of Hamat, heard that David had defeated the army of Hadadezer, the king of Tzova, and to show his thanks and to set up an alliance with David, Pasuk Yod, Vayishlach et Hadoram b'no, and Melech David, Tou, the king of Hamat, sent his son, named Hadoram, he sent him to David, Lish'al lo l'shalom u'levorcho, to ask him how well he was doing and to bless him. Al asher nucham b'Hadadezer v'yakeu. Why does he come to bless David and seek peace with him? Because he, David, had fought with Hadadezer, his enemy, by Akeo, and he defeated him. Ki ish mechamot Tou haya Hadadezer. Because Tou and Hadadezer were at war with one another. V'chol klei zahav v'kesef v'nechoshet. And when he came to make peace with David and to bless him, he didn't come empty-handed. He came with a beautiful present and tribute to David, which included gold, silver, and copper. Pasuk Yud Aleph, gam otam. That gold, silver, and copper that he received as a present from Tou because he defeated Hadadezer, gam otam higdish hamelech David ladunai. Those also David dedicated to God. Ima kesev azav asher nasa mikol hagoyim, together with the gold and silver which he carried from all the nations that he fought against, from Edom and from Moab, from Bnei Ammon, umi Plishtim umi Amalek. Notice we have a 360 of all of David's enemies in his battles. Amalek to the south, Plishtim to the west, Moab and Ammon to the east, Edom to the southeast, and Aram Tzova and Damascus to the northeast, and Tou to the north, from all those nations that now David was able to defeat. all the booty of those battles and all the tribute that they paid, David dedicated towards building the Beit HaMikdash. Notice that we have more of an emphasis on the money that he dedicates more than the details of the military victories. Pasuk Yudbet, Vavishai ben Tsruya, Hikat Adon Begei HaMelech, 18 Aleph. Now we talk about one of David's great generals, Avishai, the brother of Yoav, the son of Tsruya, David's sister. He defeated Edom in the area of Gei Melech, which is a little bit south of the Dead Sea, in the northern part of the Arava. Recall this was always an area of battles. The War of the Four Kings and Five Kings in Bereshit chapter 14 is also in that same area of Gei Melech. And in that battle, he inflicted 18,000 casualties on Edom. Vayatsem Edom Nitzavim, like the other countries, he put military garrisons in Edom to keep control. Vayu Chol Edom Avadim LeDavid, now all of Edom also served David, and hence pay tribute. And then we have another summary pasuk, Vayosh Adonai David B'chol Asher Halach. God gave salvation to David in everywhere that he went. So we have two little sections, both concluding with the same phrase, very similar to the conclusion of God's help to Am Yisrael when they crossed the Red Sea, that we mention every day in Tefillah, Vayosh Hashem et Yisrael me'ad Mitzrayim. God brought salvation to Am Yisrael coming out of Egypt from the Egyptian army. How does David respond to this salvation? Pasuk Yedalin, Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael. This made David king over all of Israel. And David did justice and righteousness for all of his people. Accenting what David does with all his strength and might is one of the key points that Divrei Hayamim is coming to make. It's not only the fact that David dedicates all this money towards building the Beit HaMikdash, because the main point of the Beit HaMikdash is not just to have a big beautiful building and to show off how great we are. The purpose of building a beautiful temple is to make God's name great. But the people who serve God and the nation that serves God has to be a model nation in order to make the popularity of God's name meaningful. Therefore, in addition to dedicating all this money towards the building of a temple, it's also important to point out that David, in the administration of his country, which had now grown by leaps and bounds, Divrei Hayamim makes sure to point out, like we saw in Sefer Shmuel, that David executes justice and righteousness for the nation that's just become a great superpower in the Middle East. It's not by chance that the pasuk here uses the phrase tzedakah u'mishpat, because we return to a very major biblical theme that the reason why God picked the nation of Israel to represent him was in order that they do tzedakah u'mishpat. If we return to Sefer Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudchet, chapter 18, verse 18, before God destroys the city of Sodom, he consults with Avram Avinu about his plan to destroy Sodom if indeed he finds that all the people in Sodom are evil. Before that discussion about how many righteous people are necessary to be in Sodom in order to save the entire city, that narrative is introduced by two very important psukim. Again, take a look in Sefer Bereshit chapter 18, beginning with verse 17 with Pasuk Yitzayim. Vashem Amar, Hashem had said, Hamachaseh ani mi'Avraham asher ani yoseh, can I hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? Now Chumash comes to explain why God must confide in Avram Avinu about what he is about to do to Sodom. Pasuk Yitchet, Va'Avraham hayo yeh l'goy gadol v'atzum, Avram was destined to become a great nation, v'nivru chuvo kol goy haaretz, and through him, God will bring blessing to all the nations of the land. This is almost a quote from the opening lines of Lech Lecha, when God first chooses Avram Avinu and enters a relationship with him and tells him to go to Israel. And there he challenges Avram Avinu, v'etzcha l'goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation. And I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, so that you can make my name great. And there it says, "V'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpot ha'adama." That's chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Through you, I'll bring blessing to all the nations of the land. Even though Sefer Bereshit never tells us in Parshat Lech Lecha, why was it that God picked Avram Avinu to become a nation? Chumash gives that reason in verse 19. And here we have the same phrase, tzedek u'mishpat, that we found in Divrei Hayamim. Ki dativ, because I came to know him. The reason why he entered this relationship was in order, leman, Asher yitzaved banav vet beito acharav, so that Avram would command his children and they their children. V'shamru derech Hashem, they would follow the way of God. And what is the way of God? Lasot tzedaka u'mishpat, to do justice and righteousness. Leman havi Adonai al Avram et asher diber alav, in order that God will bring upon Avram Avinu that which he said about him. In other words, in order that Avram will become a blessing to all mankind, in order that there'll be meaning in becoming this great nation, this nation must begin with a family tradition that Avram begins and teaches his son Yitzchak, and he'll pass that tradition to Yaakov, and from that time on, for all generations, to be a nation characterized by doing justice and righteousness, tzedek u'mishpat. That's going to become a major theme throughout Chumash, and especially throughout Nevi'im. And now when David establishes his kingdom and becomes a tremendous military power, it could easily be that ruler who's so successful with his military conquest would become a strong, cruel dictator and be very mean to his nation as well. David does exactly the opposite. He's going to become a model nation that other nations will learn from. Therefore, the Pasuk emphasizes that David did tzedek u'mishpat for his entire nation. And now that we've become a superpower in the Middle East, hopefully within the next generation, these nations will become our allies and work together with us. As takes place in the time of Shlomo, when they come and visit our land and they travel through our land, they'll see a nation doing tzedek u'mishpat. And by doing that, God's goal of what we say in Aleinu L'shabech, L'takein Olam B'Machut Shaddai, and that all mankind should recognize that they have to be just and upright. Therefore, when we go back to Divrei Hayamim now, in Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yudalet, in verse 14, that summarizes David's kingdom and conquest. Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael, David became king over all of Israel. Vayi oseh mishpat u'tzedaka l'chol amo, we emphasize that David did tzedek u'mishpat in his rule over his nation. That's coming to show that we've achieved an important step in God's goal for his people that was already mentioned when Am Yisrael was chosen in Sefer Breshit. Later we'll see in prophets like Yirmiyahu that the reason why God will bring the Chorban, destruction on the Beit HaMikdash, and send Am Yisrael into exile is because they're not doing enough tzedek u'mishpat. That idea comes up many times in Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu, as anyone who's familiar with those books is well aware. Considering that the purpose of this book is to inspire the people of the Second Temple period to learn from David, it makes a lot of sense why we emphasize this point. Not only did David take an initiative and make tremendous donations towards building the temple, in the administration of that country, David makes every effort to do tzedek u'mishpat, and we're hoping in Bayit Sheni will do the same things. The Navi Zechariah makes exactly this point in chapter 7. If you read Zechariah Perek Zayin and Chet, you'll see a very similar message. To conclude the chapter, we have a very short list of the important administrators in David's government. Pasuk Tetvav, V'Yoav ben Tzruya ala Tzava, the chief of command of David's army was Yoav ben Tzruya. V'Yoshafat ben Achilud Maskir. The word Maskir is interesting. Nowadays, a Maskir means like a secretary. So it could be that he was like Secretary of State. Based on what we read on Rosh Hashanah about Zichronot, Maskir could also mean the Attorney General. We say in Avinu Malkeinu, Zachreinu b'Zichron Tov Lefanecha, remember us through a good judgment. The Maskir, he might have been the Attorney General who was in charge of all the court cases. V'Tzadok ben Achituv v'Avimelech ben Aviatar Kohanim, the priest who served in Givon, in the Mishkan, and also in front of the Aron in Yerushalayim, were Tzadok ben Achituv the Kohen and Avimelech ben Aviatar, v'Shavsha Sofer, and the chief scribe in charge of writing, or probably writing royal edicts, his name was Shavsha, uv'Nayahu ben Yehoyada al HaKreti v'HaPleti, v'Nayahu ben Yehoyada, one of David HaMelech's great army men, he was in charge of a unit called the Kreti and Pleti. The Kreti might be a group of people that came from the island of Crete. The Pleti might be a different form of the word Plishtim. It may be that David had a special unit of foreigners, which was like a special guard that was very loyal to David, and they were sort of a balance of power with Yoav. Ubnei David harishonim bnei haramelech, bnei David were first in line, or they were key ministers next to the king, and they were in charge of ruling this new empire. In our next year, we'll continue in chapter 19 with more stories of David's military successes and how that relates to his preparations to build the house for God.